We talked about Always Victory Sunday. And that is a true statement in my life ever since I've been born again. When I'm in faith, when I'm flowing and flowing with God and all that, I'm just talking about walking with God. I'm not talking about something weird, you know, feeling goosebumps all day. But as I'm walking with God, I have always, ever since I've been born again and seen some scripture in here, believed God for victory. No matter if it's in my finances. And the times that I didn't, I suffered loss, you know. So we always believe God for victory. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we face, you know, that is looking unto Jesus. That's looking to Him. The one that give us the faith, and the one is perfecting our faith, and the one that's going to complete our faith. We are looking to Him when we're believing Him for victory. I was thinking about, and Ben Tracy was talking about some things, you know, over the last day or two, especially today, you know. We was talking about, we see people and their circumstances out here. We all see people. And we see people and we see them making wrong choices, and we see them always in calamity and destruction and all that stuff, and no vision for the future, you know. And it always reminds me and Teresa over the course of our life following Jesus, you know, that finding the will of God is the most important thing after Jesus. Beginning to find out what God's will is for us. Because faith begins where we understand personally what the will of God is for us. Whether it's in our marriage, in our finances. Once we find the will of God, whether it's in the Bible, through preaching, the Holy Spirit quickening, we know the will of God. We know when God wants us to say something to somebody. That's the will of God. Faith is there then. Your mind might be in the way, but go ahead and do it anyway, you know, because faith for you to do it, victory is there, you know. And so the finding the will of God, and in the will of God, you know, there is going to be challenges in me and you doing the will of God. But in the middle of those challenges, we read all through the Bible and we see from all the way from Genesis all the way through the Bible that all of those that had an expectation and confidence in God got delivered. I'm talking about they got delivered out of the lions then. People were beheaded for Jesus. That was deliverance. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. See, victory is all the way from the beginning to the ending and afterwards. We are just learning here how to walk and serve God when we leave here. I mean, it's going to be a new kingdom set up, right? He said if we'll be rulers over down here, the small things, He said we'll be rulers over much. Hallelujah. And so I always look for victory, but I always have a million things that would try to discourage me to believe for victory in whatever I'm facing. Always, a lot of stuff. It might be through people. It might be through thoughts. That's one of the big things that Satan uses is humans' thoughts to bring them to destruction. Because he does not have power to destroy people. If he did, he'd wipe the planet off. He does not have. But if he can get me to agreeing with him, to yielding to whatever, you know, going making wrong choices contrary to the will and word of God, then he's got me on my road of destruction. You understand that? Satan does not have power over Scotty. Satan does not have power over the church, the called out, the called to get the anointed, the ones that are born again. There is no devil that has any authority over a believer, a church, an assembly, a ministry. They do not. because everything was under Jesus triumphed over them, making a show of them openly, subduing them, destroying them. And then he said, I give you power over all the power of the devil. All of it. Just a little incident, because you have circumstances all the time coming up in your life. And, you know, and most of you know the full will of God for your life. Maybe not completely full. Where you go to church, your marriage, your giving, and if you don't, God will bring it up. God will teach you. The Holy Spirit will quicken you and teach you. I mean, I quit my job one time because I'm called into full-time ministry, and that's the way the world, my seeing had always done it. If you called, you can't work a secular job, and that was just their mentality back there and all of that, and man, God would not move for me at all. I'm praying and I'm believing for doors to open up and all of that. You know, I believed that to be the will of God, but it wasn't. So God wasn't obligated. I was doing it out of ignorance. Then God spoke to me and he said, go back to your job. And I thought, man, that's got to be the devil. You know, it got to be the devil, man. I mean, I didn't know the voice of God. I'm 6 months old in the Lord, you know. But then, you know, Teresa, man, maybe you're supposed to come back to work. And so I looked again, you know, and every time I would really consider doing it, consider I'm fixing to do it, I would feel peace. And I thought, man, it is the will of God. It's the will of God. Well, I went back. Well, see, now I'm convinced. I'm convinced it's the will of God. I've never been tripped up by the devil again, 33 years concerning that little matter. Now, I wasn't just telling you my story. I wasn't convinced. But once I got convinced, I went back. And God began to prosper me where I was at, like I hadn't never prospered there in my entire career there, on and off 10 years. I mean, he prospered me more in eight or nine months than I'd ever prospered anywhere working. See, I was in the will of God. Well, I quit mad one time. God won't let you do that. I quit the will of God because the guy was making me mad because he took over and didn't know. Now I'm telling you, see, things come to get you out of the will of God that are not favorable to you, that don't seem favorable. But if we do the will of God, the Bible says he always leads us into victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Always. Not maybe. See, in a place of not knowing, you can hope. But hope's not where God wants you. Hope it works out. I hope this works out. I hope this does turn to my good. I hope. The world hopes that way that they get a good break. But see, faith and knowing God's will is a place of confidence that I am in this storm, but this storm is not going to move me to a place of destruction or backwards. This storm, I'm going to use this storm, and I'm going higher. So anyways, I went back to work. And I found out that God can call you into full-time ministry and full-time working. I'm not just saying it just because I experienced it. I know it's the will of God. I'm called into the ministry, and I'm called to be a businessman. And so in both of those arenas, I can be victorious. But I've got to do things God's way in both of them arenas. You know, I mean, just like when I'm going through hardship, you know, trials at work, trials there, trial there, maybe, you know, and everything. I think, man, call somebody to preach. Call somebody to preach tonight, Wednesday night, or whatever, you know. And so I've learned, you know, that a thought don't necessarily come from God. So now I tell the devil, I say, why would I want to do that? I'm anointed to preach the gospel. Why would I want to do that? This pressure is not going to convince me I can't do it because the Bible says I can. See, I know the will of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. So there's nothing I can't do that he's telling me that I can do. Right? And then I turn and I say, okay, God, I don't got nothing but you do. And so then I go on by faith because I know it's the will of God. Because, see, when you're in the will of God, you got faith. Though I go on anyways and I say, I'm going to do it. And then it usually turns out some of the best sermons I ever preach. Why? Because when I am weak, then is he strong. See, when you are weak, if you're leaning, trusting, and relying on him, that will be when you are your strongest, and you will know that it's not you. You will know that God did it. God strengthened you. God kept you through it. God didn't let your feet stumble. He said he will uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness. Somebody, you know, arguing over some money about jobs and all of that, you know. And so I give it to the Lord. How many knows you're supposed to give problems to the Lord? We're not supposed to carry problems around week after week, Mac. Worried. Hoping they'll work out. Burdened down to where you can't even enjoy Andy Griffin on TV. That's terrible. So we have the ability by the Spirit of God through our faith to cast these problems over on God and count him as faithful that he will do what his word says he'll do. That's what Abraham did. He did not stagger at it. He didn't stagger at that promise because he was old. It hadn't happened. It looked like it wasn't. Probably wife didn't believe it either. But the Bible says that Abraham in Romans 4, you can go read about it. It says that he staggered not concerning. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I thank God I went back to work, Richard. I'm not a broke man today. I'm not wondering if I've got a good future. I know that my God will live it. I know that he is true to his word, his promises that he quickens to his believers. I'm not going to have to live off of Social Security only because I have believed that for 30 years. I have the ability now. I did not at 28 or 9 when I got a hold of the word and found out the will of God. I did not have the ability to leave my children's children an inheritance. I do now. All of these promises that we quote and say, oh, they're yes and amen. There are if you lay hold of them. They're already settled. But they're not for everybody. They're for the ones that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believes to occupy here. I don't like to brag about giving. I'm a giver. I purposed in my heart at 28 and 9, I want to be a blessing. And Lord, I'm going to purpose in my heart to be a giver. Now my mind is telling me, y'all need a house, y'all need a car, you could use some Nikes and you could use some, you ain't never had no really good stuff and you could use. But in my heart, I'm like, that's the way I get it. So my heat and current cooling system tears up over the weekend. Friday it started getting, Saturday. And Teresa, she's fine. She's like, oh, we're saving energy. And I'm like, I'd rather not be saving energy. I didn't say that, you know. I like to be comfortable, don't you? No, she wasn't complaining over there. I didn't really complain, you know. But I tried to get us rigged up with air conditioning there around here. And so anyways, I called the people up on Saturday. And they come out, you know, and Monday and these two boys, they do our heat and cooling stuff here, you know. But anyhow, they're there, you know, and he says, this is not good. I said, what is it? He took it apart, you know, and it blowed a hole in the unit, the brand new unit that I put in that I'm done with cutting wood. Y'all know all the story. I believe God for it and I'm done and all that. Well, it blowed a line out and drained the whole thing. Brand new, 6 months old. And I said, oh yeah? He said, yeah, it's going to take, he said, it's a hole right here and it drained all of it out. He said, it's going to take a half a can, one of them big cans of Freon. He said, it's going to take a half a can just to fill it back up. And I said, I looked at him and I said, oh, really? I said, it could be worse. And he said, how's that? I said, if you couldn't fix it. I said, that would be way worse. That would be like six, seven grand. I said, he said, well, in light of that, yeah, it could be worse. I said, just fix it. I didn't ask him how much. I don't care. Teresa got money. She got all of it in there, man. Just go in there and find which pot you want to get it out of. But you know what? I'm rejoicing right now that I'm saying that. And people take that about bragging about money. But we down yonder with nothing tithing. We down there letting them cut our phones off. We down there giving our last $5. I'm in the truck down there, you know, because I believe it's the will of God for me to be a giver, you know, and it's causing me to get off of myself, and I'm giving my last $10 that I eat on all week and snack to some dude on the side of the road with a sign. Amen. Believe in God. One day, God, you're going to bring me to that promised land that you say in the Bible. And I'm not talking about Canaan. That's they're there. They was there in Canaan. My Canaan is God's promises here in the earth, little heaven on earth. And so I'm giving, and I'm like, man, one day I'm going to drive a nice car. So I fix cars and give them to people. Sowing seeds, Mac. For my future. Believing that what God said in that Bible right there, if I would do it, that God would do what he said he would do for me and Teresa in that Bible. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. My God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. He ain't gonna write something in there and then not do it. He's never failed. He's not weak. He's not slack concerning his promises. He don't get shocked when a little devil runs up in your house. I learned through Jesus and on the boat when he's asleep in there and disciples thought they're dying. Jesus had been teaching them how faith in God and all that, and teaching them how to take authority and all of that. And Jesus comes out and he rebukes that storm and then you know, I would see back then, I would see like, well, that was Jesus. He was Jesus. But I didn't know, Mac, that he'd become like a man like me and you and walk just like me and you by the Holy Spirit that he give me and you to walk by. Hallelujah. He stripped himself of being God, although he came from a Virgin Mary and he was the Son of God. But he stripped himself of all that authority and power and submitted to the lordship of God by faith. Jesus walked by faith. Right. And so when he spoke that, the disciples, when they woke him up, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Woke him up. See, I noticed in that scripture right there that Jesus was in the same storm. But Jesus was resting. See, Jesus had faith in God that his journey could not end until it was time for him to go to the cross. He knew the will of God. Well, I noticed when Jesus come up and rebuked the storm and all of that, then he chastened the disciples. Why did y'all doubt? Why did you get in fear? And when I was probably 28 years old, I thought, man, he expected them to speak to that storm. He expected them, you know, to have faith in God. And I thought, you know, that was Jesus, but this is his disciples here. And then I thought, all the way to, see what I'm telling you, this that I'm thinking at that time was coming by the Holy Spirit. But if you don't read the Bible and hear preaching, it's going to be harder for him to quicken you to some things that God wants you to do, wants you to be. and wants you to become and wants you to occupy. See, I believed because God prophesied it to me and I had it in my heart before that He's anointed me to teach people how to prosper, His people. The world can't see it. They think it's stupid to tithe and give a tip of $200 to these guys. I began to walk around there and then all the professionalism went down because I thought this is more than getting my air conditioned fixed, but God. I read it when I go out, right, Junior, that I am leaving this church, that I get equipped and I am going into the mission field. That's what somebody put on there. It's right there when you go out, you ain't read it. Well, the mission field out there, the world out here, that me and you can't be all over the planet. But where we are, we're anointed where we are. He anoints us where we are to preach the gospel. See, your mind will tell, you don't have to be a preacher to tell people that Jesus can step into your life and give you a future. Right. That Jesus can heal you right now. I'll pray for you. Jesus will heal you. You don't got to have a microphone. That guy down there on the streets, I don't know who he is. I don't know where he goes to church, and I really don't care. I do, but I don't. But my sister got her feelings hurt in this church, and she was just going to quit. Not mad, just her feelings hurt, blah, blah, blah. And she goes off, she ain't coming to church, you know, and her feelings are hurt. And she goes down through there, and she just has this thought, I'm going to ask that preacher. So she pulls over in that pizza parking lot somewhere down there in Oneonta, begins to talk to that guy on the street. And that guy, he listened to her out, I guess. She didn't go through the whole conversation. But the proof is, she's here. What Satan meant for her bad, he had somebody on the street out there, not behind the pulpit, with a big horn looking stupid. And people driving by and they're looking, boy, that's stupid. I guarantee you. See, you got critics of Christianity. You've got critics of giving. You've got critics of church attendance. You've got critics of having mercy. Some will say in the church, Mac, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But God didn't say. God said, forgive, love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you. See, that way, the ways of God, that's the will of God. When you forgive, you had mercy, that was the will of God on your sister. You could have cracked a whip on her. And you could have left feeling justified. But you didn't. You did what Jesus did to you. Jesus had mercy when you wasn't straightened out in some areas. All of us. And still does. I need Him. I don't know about you, but I need Him. I need His mercy. I need His help. I need His wisdom. We're living in a world I've never lived in before, a demonic world. Evil increased more and more. I mean, people getting into offices you never thought would even be possible. Getting into offices, places of power, you know. And I'm like, man, glory to God. Hallelujah. This is just another opportunity to see our God good at work. Hallelujah. Now we rebuke it and we bind it, but you know what? Those guys, when they left the profession, see, when me and Travis goes on the job, we're professionals and we know it. We're really good and anointed by the Lord and we know it, but we don't act it. I don't know how to say that. I'm just me when I go on the job. I'm just me, you know, and sure, I'm representing Blunt Overhead Door and I'm going to do a good job, so Blunt's going to look good, so I ain't got nothing to be concerned about. Well, these guys, they're just professional, you know, and we don't talk about our problems and all of that on the jobs and different things of that nature. But the anointing came around, and I mean, I'm just feeling all normal, you know, and I'm talking to these guys. Well, this young guy, he said, I just can't see ever. He said, this is a family-owned business. He said, and I got two brothers and sisters at home, and mom and dad, he said, and I work, and this other guy, he works, you know, and he said, and there's just not a lot of money in it. Like that, you know. He said, I can't really see ever. He said, I'm talking about ever. He's probably in his mid-20s, maybe 28. Very good worker. I'm talking about professional, does a good job. You feel like you could leave him and he ain't going to do nothing to rip you off. That's just the way they feel, you know. Well, he says, I can't ever see getting a house, I can't ever see getting a house. And then he said, then that other guy, he said, yeah, man, I hate work. I didn't want to come to work today. I said, and then I let him get done. A confession there started. Neither one of them, I don't believe neither one of them saved. And so I told him, I said, well, you know, I said, that is the same way that probably 99.9% of Americans feel that went to work today. They're going to work to buy a house, to pay their rent, to do that and this and that. I said, so why I'm telling you that, I said, it's where you won't feel like you're the only one. And I started telling him, my son is one of the ones I know firsthand every morning. I don't want to be here. Good. Get in. Shut up. Get in. Shut up. It don't matter. Get you unpacked. It don't matter what you want, what you like. And so I told him, I told that young guy, I said, listen, man, I said, you're captive in your mind. I said, your mind has got you captive. I said, see, I said, I had this come to me years ago, and I told him, I said, see, I've got Jesus. I wasn't trying to be religious. I didn't invite him to church. Anything like that. I said, I've got Jesus, and I'm in it. Buddy, if he can give me hope at 28, if he can give me desires and dreams and me believe him and didn't cost me anything but my faith and endurance and integrity and staying in there and not quitting, and that's all it took for me, he can do it for him. And so I told him, I said, listen, man, I said, don't go to work for money. Stop working for money. Stop going to work for money. I said, money's not a good master. I said, stop going to work for money. I said, go to work. I said, go to work to be a problem solver. I said, see, you're here today because I had a problem. My air condition. I said, you're here to fix my problem so that I don't have that problem anymore. I said, now why I'm telling you that right there, you're going to go to work anyway. I said, so change your mindset of why you're going to work, not for the money. You're going to work to be a problem solver. Richard, they need a shed. Don't go to work for money. It'll come. They're coming anyways. You know? Well, see, that's something God gave me. Now, I wasn't going to tell him that, but God gave me that back down yonder almost 30 years ago. And then when I'm facing the people that'll cuss you out and they will, and man, I mean, you know, the Lord had to teach me this stuff because I'd be right in there with them, cuss you out, and I'll tear your door on out and burn your house, and I don't care. Well, God gave me that thought, and so I changed my mindset back then. And it wasn't a great spiritual thing. It was my mind changed. I changed about going to work. I used to hate work. I would call in sick. There's nothing wrong with me. I would just quit. And I asked God to help me not be a quitter. I've never called in sick one time after that. The rest of my life, I decided I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to be truth. I'm going to, if I want off, I'll tell them I want off. You know, that was a challenge, Mac. Because now I had to be truthful. I'm lazy and I want to take a day off. Whoo! But you know what? I did it. And now I had a revelation in Genesis over there where it speaks to all of us. He said, 6 days will a man work and he'll rest on the Sabbath. The Sabbath. And Teresa, she took that, boy, I mean, till the church and God began to change her. Saturday was her Sabbath. I'm talking about it. I knew what that meant. She ain't doing nothing. If she don't want to get out of the bed, she's laying in the bed. If she won't sit there and watch TV all day, she's watching TV all day. She ain't doing nothing. It's her Sabbath. She's resting. And she told me, and she said, you need one out there. I ain't got time for a Sabbath. She said, you're breaking the Ten Commandments. I honored that. I thought, glory to God. I thought, well, Lord, my rest is going to be, I'm off on Saturday and I'll just do what I want to. That's what she does. If I want to work on a dozer, I'm off. That's just what I want. If I want to go fishing, whatever I want to do, Saturday's going to be my, get my mind off all the work and everything. How many knows you need some free time with your mind? You need to steal your mind. You need to operate under the anointing of powers of concentration, where you concentrate on what you want to concentrate on. Anytime you want to concentrate. When you do that, Satan loses the power of your thoughts. He loses it. He'll bring them, and they'll be like, nah, not going to do it. Well, just like this church. Now, we overcharged on garbage, and I didn't have a choice for years. Called them up, went up $600 a month for that dumpster down there. Called them up, dump it every other week. They dump it every, they get us down to 230. A year and a half later, they're back up to 4 or 5, And so I called them up one time, and I said, I want to cancel. What you going to do? There wasn't nobody else to pick up garbage here. What you going to do? I said, I'm going to buy me a 16-foot trailer, and I'm going to build me walls down the side of that trailer out of garage door sections. I already got the equipment. I said, and once a month, I'm going to go up there, and it's going to cost me $40 or $50 to dump the church's garbage. Oh, well, let us work, man. There you go. And so then this morning, I'm just happened to be there, and a garbage truck goes by my house. And I thought, So I jumped on my gator and run him down. He dumps these big dumpsters. I run him down, pulled in there, and I said, hey, man, where y'all stationed? He told me. I believe the Lord caused that truck to come by at that time. I believe I was back at the right time. I believe that everything happened just like it was supposed to happen. And he said, where Kilpatrick? I got the number. I called him up. I said, hey, do y'all work Bluntsville? What's the address? I said, just look it up. It's Faithway Christian Center. Been there for 24 years. She looked up and she said, oh, yeah, you're 260 Ashley Street. I said, that's right. I said, do y'all go down there? Yes, we do. I said, how much for a four-yard dumpster dumped every other week a month? How much? And she punched it up, $119. I said, oh yeah? And I said, well, what do I need to do here to sign up? I said, I'm gonna make sure it's a two yard dumpster, same size. And she said, I'll just email you thing. Anyhow, make a long story short, I said, okay. And so then Teresa, she said, hey, if it's under $300, she said, let them dump it every week. If it's under $300. So I called her. I said, well, I'll find out. So I called her back, and I said, hey, I said this, I told her who it was. I said, if I get that dumpster dumped every week, I said, how much is it per month if I get the 2 yard dumped every week? Like that. She probably said, $159 a month. I said, it's $159. I made sure. I said, so you're telling me it's $159 a month and y'all will dump it every week? She said, yes, sir, that's right. I said, send me the paperwork. She sent me the paperwork. I got there on my phone just a second. I emailed her all the paperwork and bing, sent it. Signed us up for $300 a month less. See, that's part of my, not job, that's part of my service to the Lord, is to take care of this place, that it don't get robbed and all kind of stuff. See, I got to know the will of God when I do that stuff, finding out if it's the will of God. Well, anyhow, now I go on and I go to cancel. I've had that dumpster for 20 years. 20 years. And so then when they said, well, we got a match program, you know, we'll match what they're doing. I said, why ain't you done it? I said, why ain't you done that? Silence. I said, oh, I know why you're doing it now. I said, because you don't want me quit. I said, but you're willing to come from $441 a month, dumping me twice, to $159, dumping me four times. I said, that's what you're telling me. If I stay here. She said, well, now the bad thing is, I'm looking at your contract here. And I said, I ain't got no contract. She said, I'm looking at it, and you signed a contract in 2024, so it's going to cost you $2,500 to come out from under the contract. I said, oh, let me get this straight. I said, I've had that dumpster for 20 years. I said, there's no 20-year contract on a dumpster. Right. I said, and what that is, that I said, now what you're telling me, because I'm letting y'all go, I said, I'm not even mad. I said, y'all got my personal dumpsters. I'm going to stay there maybe. Any of y'all got Republican? Don't. Okay, we'll talk later. And so I said, now listen, I'm telling you this because the Bible says you don't know what you need to say, but He'll give you what you need to say in the time that you are facing. If you're in faith, you're in the will of God. Now I'm not talking about a dumpster now. I'm talking about whatever you face. That's why Satan wants you, your mind, captive. He wants you in fear. He don't want you in faith, believing God, because he don't want you having the wisdom of God, because the flesh and blood does not receive the things of God. But a right spirit, when you're walking in a right spirit, you will walk in God's wisdom. So I told her, I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I said, I want that email to me. This contract you're talking about, email it to me. I said, but about that time is when I did agree and agree for y'all to go from $600 a month to $230. I said, I did agree. I might have signed something for that. For y'all to redo this, that I was going to quit in 24. I said, but what need would I have with a contract when I've had the dumpster for 20 years? I said, you send me that contract and I'm going to look it over. And I might have it looked at. That's just what I said. So she sent me the contract, email, didn't even email it. I mean, how fast can you email? Like, I did it in just 3 minutes. They're supposed to deliver the dumpster yesterday. They called me up before I even paid them anything and told me, said, look, we got an empty slot. The dude's done left to deliver your dumpster. I said, well, thank you. So we got it today, the day that I signed up. Just smooth, smooth. How many knows he makes the crooked places smooth? And so I emailed her back. No, I called her about an hour, and I thought, man, this is Wednesday. I wrote not to deal with this on Wednesday. I don't like dealing with problems on Wednesday because it tries to mess with where you're going to church. You know, don't deal with people and get mad because you won't go to church. Try not to have issues with people on Wednesday. Save it till Thursday. Do it on Tuesday. That way you got time to repent on Tuesday night and be feel good all day on Wednesday and then go to church. Think I'm kidding, buddy. That devil, he works. He tries to work it. He tries to work you. So anyways, I emailed back and I said, you go ahead and you cancel the service. I said, because this that you sent me is not a contract. I said, that is a contract. That is me agreeing with you that you're going to come down from $600 a month to $230 a month. I said, so cancel. Bing. And so I told God, I said, hey, Lord, you got a problem. I said, now, Lord, I've stayed in the right spirit about this. I said, but they're trying to charge you $2,500. You've been faithful to them for 20 years, that dumpster. I said, so I just roll this over on you, Lord. I said, this is your problem, and you deal with them. I said, but I'm here if you need me. I'm here if you need me for some reason, Lord. How many knows you've got to cast things over on the Lord for the Lord to be able to maneuver in the things that He's planned for you. I can mess up God's plan. It's His plan. It's His purpose. It's His plan and purpose. I've been married 41. I could have messed it up a lot. It's His plan and purpose that I be well off. I gave those two guys, the Lord spoke to him. He said, I want you to take some of that money. He said, I want you to give them $100 a piece. I thought, okay, man, $650, $750, that's cost me $850 for this unit. I go out there and I pull $200 out after them and I said, listen, guys, one of them is the owner's son. The other one I think may be in the family, I don't know. But I said, hey, guys, I said, this right here is not going to, and I named the company. This don't belong to the company. I said, I'm giving this to you and this to you. I said, you know, I said, my son out there, he lives out, they know him. They do his stuff too. I said, out there, I said, the UPS guy pulls up. I said, and I've taught my son and the Lord has to be givers. I go into a restaurant and I tip good. I said, you know. And I said, UPS driver pulls up at his house and the Lord spoke to him and told him to give him $100. I said, and he goes and gives a tip for $100 to the UPS driver and he starts weeping. They're like, oh, yeah, really? I said, yeah. He said, man, I ain't never got a $100 tip. I said, the Lord knows it. I said, the Lord wanted me to give you a $100 tip today, you know. And so why I'm saying that right there is, how can a woman or a man or anybody else be a blessing that God wants to bless somebody if He's not giving you the means to do it? If you're not tithing and sowing and giving. I've been attacked on tithing and I thought, that they might as well get them a bigger bulldozer to try to get some stupid junk into my mind about honoring God. Tithing's honoring God to me. I've never told you you're going to be cursed. I've heard preachers preach it. I've never preached you're under a curse if you don't tithe. But I have brought out Malachi where they wasn't honoring God, and God said, return to me and I'll return to you. I don't care what they call it under. That's in my Bible. And as long as I've got my Bible, because I've got it in here now, you can take that book, but you can't take the Bible out of me. Healing and everything. My body's given me trouble for 30 years. Mac, my body's given me trouble for 30 years. That's why I don't sit in jacks down there to people that don't know Jesus and they don't know faith and they don't know how to believe for their healing. I'm not going to listen to their testimonies, how this is what old age is going to do. They don't mean to, and that don't mean they're bad. But I tell my body all the time, you're not going to tell me what I feel. You're not going to tell me what I can do. I thought the other day I'm working on Richard's project. I'm having to get under it. I'm 59. I've got garage doors in my shop, so I don't pull in there because I usually run over some and have to replace them. So I'm out there and got me a little piece of board, and I've slid it on the gravel, you know. And I had this thought, man, if you get under there, you ain't going to get out. You're 59 years old. You're almost 60. And I got down there and I laid down. I said, I can do all things through Christ. My body ain't going to tell me I can't take a drain plug out. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, from here in my 50s, I've went in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And in my 60s, I'm going to walk in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I've walked in my 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s anointings. I'm fixing to hit my 60s anointing. And what my body says I can't do, I'm going to do in your name. And I'm going to see your results. Hallelujah. So I fixed that leaking rear end and changed all the dope and all of that stuff, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. I can do all, you can do all things. But see, now look, whenever these things start telling you you can't, don't believe it. It's going to feel like you can't. People's going to tell you. Satan's going to tell you. But you go and experience what the Bible says. And you say, I can do all things. I've seen people healed of cancer because they took the word and songs. Put that Acts 15 up there. I got to quit, man. I got 2 or 3 minutes. Mac, you took too long. No, you didn't, man. You didn't, man. I'm just being funny now. You didn't, Mac. That was really good. We needed that. We needed that. And that experience was good for you. It was. It was. And everything's going to be just fine because God's doing it. I don't know about that. That's not it. I had you write it down. Anyhow, it don't matter. This is in Acts over there where Paul and Silas, y'all remember when they was put in prison? They was preaching the gospel. We talk about Jesus. That's the gospel. He's the gospel. When we telling people, man, Jesus will come into your life, you're preaching. You're preaching the gospel. That's what you're doing when you're telling them, hey, man, Lord will heal you. Lord, you're preaching the gospel. See, a religious mindset thinks you got to be scripture, scripture for your preach. No, you're not. You tell them about Jesus. That's what Paul was doing. He was crucified before he buried, resurrected. And so he's preaching, and then he cast out a divination spirit off of a lady. Fortune-telling spirit. And so because of that, they went and they put him in prison, him and Silas in prison. Before they did that, they said beat them. So they beat them and put them in prison. And when he told the jailer, because he put them down in the center of the pit, put them in locks, chains, you know, and all of that, and they're in there. And the Bible says at the midnight hour, and I'm going to make a point and I'm going to quit. The Bible says at the midnight hour that they prayed, right? They're talking to God. They prayed and they began to sing. Songs unto the Lord is what the Bible says. They wasn't singing to them people in jail. They're there right in the middle of their trial, just like we do today. Oh, we just praise you. Oh, we just praise you, God. Right in the middle of what I'm going through, my kids acting up, Lord. Nita, her grandkids, she's raised them. Now she's done feeling lonely and they ain't got out of the house yet, so y'all pray for her. Amen. She's having, you know, kind of like when our kids leave, you know, and I felt bad for a few days and then I was glad. How good it was, how quiet it was around that house, and I ain't hearing Teresa arguing and got and throw him around. She ain't never throw him around. She's wanted to. but you know, she's going to be fine. But here's what we do, Nita, we pray. And God usually tells us something. He told me focus my energy in somewhere else. When things happen, that's what he does for me. But they begin to pray. They begin to pray. I don't know probably what they prayed. Thank you, Lord. I don't know. Thank you, Lord, that we're counted worthy to be put in here for casting that demon out, for preaching about Jesus. See, we ought to, you know, I've had a lot of critics at this church, and I just begin to praise God because God told me, he said, it's free advertisement. And I said, praise God. That's free advertisement when they come against the church like that. They're just telling everybody everywhere, and then God shows up and we feed the masses. Yeah. And he shows himself. That's not what happened. Well, they begin to sing praises, and the Bible says the place shook. God showed up. The prison doors were open. The chains fell off of them. And they didn't even leave prison, Sandy. I mean, they even told the guy, no, don't kill yourself, man. But here we are. We're here. We're here. One, that guy of Jesus. See, I could have went and told those guys, boy, y'all just don't know how miserable I've been all weekend, hot in here, sweating. But you know what? God caused it to get cool and been cool all weekend. Favor of God been over our house over there, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, just whatever you're facing that's negative, it's coming again. You know, you'll hit one trial or hit another one. People ain't wanting to pay, send us money and all that, you know. And I just been praising God. Glory to God. No weapons formed against us are prosper. That's what Paul and them did. And the power of God came. Power of God will come in your life like that, and it'll break chains. It'll open the doors. It'll bring breakthroughs. I tell Teresa all the time, we're going to have our harvest here. See, Drew, we've been here 24 years. And we want the house full. We want it full. Not to fill seat. Because we know that people's lives are going to be changed by Jesus coming into their hearts. And so, 24 years, we're going to have a harvest. Tell Johnny Everton and call him in. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm coming from the north, south, east, and west. Then you get Samantha, dear, and praise. Listen, this prayer and praise is breaking chains. This prayer and praise is ushering in what God has got for this place. There's a time for everything. You know, and there was time for that to happen once a month. Anytime you see revival come to churches, to people's life, it's them praying and seeking and praising God and expecting Him. And things show up. One day we're going to be like, whoa, we ain't got nowhere to see it. We ain't got nowhere to see it, but Lord, we'll just put us this year in the foyer. See, we done been seasoned how to have mercy and prefer others before us and all of that. So, as you go, praise God. Don't complain about nothing. Make your mind up. I don't complain about anything. Lord, I thank you. My mind's made up. I'm not going to complain about nothing. You don't have to worry about, I don't worry about nothing. Hadn't for years. That's why my hair ain't gray, I believe. One of the reasons. That's why my hair is not gray. I'm not going to do it. All that worrying didn't get me where I'm at. But all that believing God to do His thing and what He promised in His Word has gotten us to the promised land, Mac. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And we thank you, Lord, that your promises are yes and in you, amen. Lord, we're going to look for victory always. Your word says in 1 Corinthians 15:7, Lord, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Lord, Paul said in Philippians over there, he said, not that I've already attained, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's us, God. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for everything that is happening in our lives that you will turn it around. You will cause it to work for good. We may not see things in the natural, but it'll work eternal stuff in us, Father God, that won't even affect us when these things come. Thank you, Lord. I heard today that your word says that we're to be even killed. That means we're never changed. We're the same, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or whatever, Lord. And we thank you. We walk in that, Lord. Let signs, wonders, and miracles happen, Father God. And I thank you for strength for everybody by your Spirit. Lord, I stir up the things that you've placed in them, Father God, tonight. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that they be strengthened in their inner man, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I thank you and I give you praise for that, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Anybody here tonight, you want prayer? Anybody need prayer? Want prayer? All right, let's stand.